What's going on, folks? Thanks for joining me for another episode of the Duck Gun Podcast. Today, we're doing another Wood Duck Wisdom, one of our favorite series on the podcast, growing in popularity. Actually, we just recently had a five-star review over there, and someone saying that Wood Duck Wisdom is awesome. I should pull up who said it to be more accurate. But yeah, it's going to be another fun one. We got Nate Verdon. He is the host and creator of the ever-growing and popularity YouTube series Falling Tide TV. How are you doing tonight, Nate?
I'm doing great.
Louisiana-based. I should mention that as well, because I think that's pretty important to your content as well, because it definitely gives it a unique and different perspective being a Louisiana hunter.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys for having me.
Awesome. Yeah, we're definitely excited to have you. So I will read that review again that I just mentioned. Wood Duck Trivia. Great idea. This was so good. Keep these coming. It was from, I don't even know what your name is. Bamard Husker Buck, I think is what his name is. So hopefully I don't say it wrong and he changed to a 4-star like Wisconsin or whatever. And then we also recently had another 5-star review from The Last Wolf 11 and said, always wanted to listen to a great podcast and this is it. So appreciate the 5-star reviews, guys, over there in Apple. Keep them coming. We'll keep the content rolling. But also we got Hunter, Canvasback King, King of the Cans, and then the MC, Zach, Young Padawan. So take it away, Zach. Give us the rules of Wood Duck Wisdom.
Absolutely. So this is the third episode of Wood Duck Wisdom Trivia. The way the game works, I have 10 questions. I'm going to read each one aloud, and each of the contestants is going to write down their answers. At the end of the time, whenever I say, every contestant's going to read their answer. If you get it correct, you get 1 point. And at the end of the 10 questions, whoever has the most points is crowned the champion. So that not only comes with bragging rights, but the prize is a $50 donation from the Duck Gun Podcast to the winner's choice of conservation organization. So
what are the categories that might be seen?
Right. So the categories we have are as waterfowl in general, dogs, and conservation tonight. So big stakes, interesting all questions. Right. Nate, I know that you said you had watched the first two. How are you feeling in your confidence tonight?
I would say mildly confident. Told you guys before that my brain has the ability to filter out useless information. So trivia is not my strong suit, mostly because my brain just doesn't have the capacity for it. But we'll see how I do. I think that if we stick to the waterfowl questions, I think I'll be okay. But I do think that any dog questions I'll probably get wrong. Unless it's like, you know, what makes a dog, you know, good at swimming. I mean, that was pretty easy.
What feature on a dog shows that it's happy?
Right. Yeah.
No, I got ultimate faith in you, Nate. You know, maybe all the questions will be useful information.
So. Well, I could definitely pronounce P-Rogue.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah. We did have a good laugh about talking about our struggle with such a well-known word for you.
Yeah, it's painful. imagine somebody like having a hard time pronouncing school bus.
Yeah.
Like it's just, it's just
right. Like, yeah.
So, all right. Before we get into the questions, I want to encourage all the listeners to play along, participate and see how you stack up against the players here. So, kind of keep track of your own scores as we go through it. And see how you stack up against everybody. So, hopping into question number one. This question tests your waterfowl identification skills. This is a little bit different one. What waterfowl species makes this noise?
play it again, but mute the music.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. We'll hear it again. That's a canvasback if I've ever heard one.
All right. What waterfowl species makes that noise?
Do we have to use scientific name?
No. Yeah, use the Latin name, please.
All right. Ooh.
Why use the Cajun name?
The Cajun name. I don't think he'll know the answer, though, if you say it.
I know the answer.
It's fell proof.
It is. Yeah. You could say anything and tell me that's what the Cajuns call it.
All right.
All right.
The American.
Does everybody have answers?
Yes, we do. I think so.
Go ahead and read them. And I guess the order will go on. Let's go. Jordan.
Oh, we're doing orders.
Then Hunter. Then Nate.
All right. I got the Porug duck using its Cajun name. No, I got the Wigeon, cotton top.
I also put cotton top Wigeon.
I put American Wigeon. I said it already because I thought you were asking for the answers.
All right. The correct answer is the American Wigeon. So everybody got it, but bonus points to Nate for saying American Wigeon. But Wigeons are one of the more vocal of the dabbling duck species. The Drake Wigeon produces slow, high-pitched whistle noises year-round. Hen Wigeon are typically only vocal during the pairing and courtship season. They make a harsh grunting noise, which is referred to as a growl. It sounds similar to a very raspy hen mallard. Question number two. How many teeth does a normal adult Labrador Retriever have? I have some options here.
Okay.
Is it 24, 32, 42, or 60? So your options are 24, 32, 42, or 60.
Top and bottom.
Total teeth.
Total teeth. All right. Let's think about this. Well, I got a bite mark over here for Keith. No, that's tough. It really is. Think about
you said
this.
It was
think about it mathematically.
22.
24, 32, 42, or 60. The total teeth that a normal adult Labrador Retriever has.
Okay, read the, I was thinking, read the options again one more time.
All right, it's 24, 32, 42, or 60.
I'm going to be ticked if I change my answer to the wrong one. Didn't trust my gut on this
one. Oh, man.
There are no dentists in here?
No, I've never counted my dog's teeth.
I often sit on the couch and just go, oh, one.
Yeah, at least it's multiple choice, Nate.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us knew this. I mean, we all knew that dogs.
We're on an even playing field here.
Right.
For sure.
All right.
I think I got it narrowed down to two of that, but, and so used my 50-50. I'm ready. Everybody else ready?
Yeah.
All right. I went with 32.
I went with the low number 24.
And I went with 32 as well.
I originally had 32 and I crossed it off and went with 24. So let's see here.
It's 42, isn't it?
All right. The correct answer is 42 teeth. Labs are born without teeth and they grow a set of 28 baby teeth within the first few months. Shortly after, they lose their baby teeth and grow 42 full-size strong adult teeth. Labs have sharp incisors in the front of their jaw, which are used for biting and tearing. Further back on their jaw, they have molars for chewing and grinding food. This accommodates their omnivorous diet, where the incisors are used primarily for tearing meat, and the molars are used for grinding plant and other food matter. So it is 42 teeth.
See, I went with 24 because I thought the molars were like, they look like two teeth, but I thought they're actually connected.
I'm just like, I literally had Chief's mouth open the other day. I was like looking at his teeth. I'm like, okay, just count these visually in my brain. And maybe that's why I came up with 32, because it's probably closer to 28 since it's a pup.
I think don't humans have like 32 teeth or something? I don't know. How many teeth do we have?
I have no idea.
I think so. I think it's like 32 or 36.
I thought it was 36. That number just stood out to me as significant. So that's why I put it. So.
All right. Moving on to question number 3. Which flyway harvested the most blue-winged teal during the 2022 special early teal season?
Ooh, that's a brutal one. Now that
is it multiple choice again?
Dude. I thought that was obvious at first during the 2022 season.
It is just the early teal season. It's like, okay.
Then there was a guy between two.
Talk it out. Right. Pacific Flyway doesn't have one, right? I should not say this out loud, huh?
Darn. Scratching that one off. Oh, we'll see here.
So it's between two states. Yeah.
Two flyways.
Two sets of states.
You know what?
It's an easy. This is an easy one.
I'm gonna go with my gut.
Meatball question.
All right. Go ahead and read them out.
Mississippi.
I went with the Central.
I went with the home team, Mississippi Flyway.
All right. The correct answer is the Central Flyway.
Oh.
Hunter got that one.
I forgot about Texas.
The Central Flyway harvested 401,000 blue wings during the early teal season, followed by the Mississippi Flyway with 196,000. And lastly, the Atlantic Flyway with 5,000 blue wings. The Pacific Flyway does not have an early teal season since they have extended regular season.
Dude, imagine living in the Atlantic Flyway trying to find a blue wing. 5,000. Oh my God.
Hey guys, come on. Like, let's have some pity for them.
No. I'm just surprised that the Central Flyway harvested four times or three times as many as the Mississippi Flyway. That's surprising.
When he said 400 and something thousand, I was expecting like him to say like 300 and something thousand for Mississippi.
Yeah, me too. I thought it'd be close when it.
But
I should have known better. I should know better. I mean,
name two states to go to hunt, like that would actually be destination states for blue winged teal. The Mississippi, get out of here. I mean, honestly, Louisiana is kind of known for the blue winged teal, but other than that, like
Mississippi's got a lot of rice fields that hold a lot of blue wings.
But you know, like in the Central Flyway, you literally have Texas, which is the funnel where all the blue wings go to.
Right. It's probably
go into South America.
Texas probably beat the Mississippi Flyway by itself.
Yeah. Right.
Zach, you got that number?
I don't. I should have.
Wow. Okay.
No, I'm slacking. All right. The current scores. Jordan has 1, Hunter has 2, and Nate has 1. So still close game. Still anybody's game. All right. Question number 4. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife System manages small wetland and pothole areas called WPAs. Duck breeding habitat. What does WPA stand for?
Can you read the full question? There's a lot of word salad in there.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife System manages small wetland and pothole areas called WPAs to promote duck breeding habitat. What does WPA stand for?
WPA.
I think this is another meatball question. I'll be surprised if I get this wrong. Oh,
really?
Think about it.
Which states have these? All of them?
North Dakota has a bunch. I know Michigan has a couple.
I mean, just think of what words fit into WPA.
They are small wetland and pothole areas used to promote duck breeding habitat.
Right there, I know. I've seen the signs when we were in North Dakota together, and like it has WPA, and in littler letters it has the words, but I cannot remember what the words are.
Nate, are you confident with this one?
I hope so. If not, I will feel really dumb.
My confidence level is like 50-50. Like WPA can only mean so many words. It's just a matter of like. Which ones? They kind of all make sense.
Oh no. I know it like as soon as it hits, I'm gonna know what it is, but I'm struggling here. WPA. Can I use a phone a friend?
No. Get out of here.
John Devney again. Oh.
WPA. What does it stand for? Hunter, do you have any in Iowa?
Can I get like the second letter in the P?
As far as I know, we don't have WPAs. All of ours are like the Iowa DNR runs are all known as WMAs, and their wildlife management areas is what WMA stands for.
Right. That's way easier.
What do you mean that's way easier? This is embarrassing that you can't come up with a WPA.
I know. It's acronym. Like I said, I'm going to W. Oh, I'm drawing a blank on this. Someone else say something so I can think in peace.
No, we're all going to awkward silence you until you figure out what letters start, what words start with a W, a P, and an A.
I got the other letters.
You should definitely have a timer going for this. You know that, right?
Yeah. Turn that timer thing on.
It seems to be Jordan that always holds up everybody else.
Hey, I have to also keep the conversation flowing. I got more to manage. So
excuses.
Why can't it be just a WMA?
Tick tock, tick tock.
Pretty much all of our public land is WMA over here.
Is WMA?
Yeah.
Ours is FWA, Fish and Wildlife Area.
Hmm. Well, that doesn't help you answer the question, does it?
No.
It's not. Well, you're going first on the answer, so let's hear it.
I don't have it. So
the clock just ran out.
Wetland participation. I can't think of whatever the P word is supposed to be. Wetland Porug Area. That's what I'm going with.
Okay. I actually crossed one out, and I think I went wrong, but I think it stands for Waterfowl Production Area.
Oh, that's what it is, too.
Dude, I feel like you said it in the question. The wetland pothole areas.
All right. The correct answer is Waterfowl Production Area.
Dang, got it.
Yeah. Hunter got that one correct. WPAs are primarily funded through the Duck Stamp Program and consist of more than 3 million acres of wetland and grassland habitat. 95% of the waterfowl production areas are located in the Prairie Pothole region along the north end of the Central Flyway. Unlike wildlife refuges, WPAs are open to recreational activity unless otherwise specified, and they're usually smaller plots of land spread across multiple counties. So they're not continuous.
I'm really glad, because originally I had waterfowl protection area, but then I changed it to production while Jordan was him-hawing around. And I was like, you know what? I think production makes
What'd you
more
have
sense.
To start with?
Protection area. While waterfowl protection area, and then while you're him-hawing, I changed it to production.
The way you said that question made me think it was a trick question. Because the way it says, like, you know, these wetland pothole areas called WPAs. I was like, okay.
I assume Louisiana doesn't have any.
No, I've never seen any, no.
Well, do any ducks nest in Louisiana?
Well, yeah, that's why I was asking.
Model ducks and wood ducks and the black belly whistling ducks do.
Okay.
So, all right.
Yeah. So they could have wetland.
They're not protected.
Pegru areas.
They could have wetland Pegru areas.
Wetland Pegru area. That's your motorless hunting areas.
We need more of those, by the way. That's a whole another topic of conversation, though.
All right. Question number 5. How many times per year do Labrador retrievers shed their undercoat? Times each year does a Labrador Retriever shed its undercoat?
365.
It seems like that's the truth. Shed the undercoat. This feels like a trick question. I'm not gonna lie to you. This feels like a trick question.
What could be a trick about it?
Because it seems like it should be obvious, but I feel like it's not. So I'm not going to guess the obvious answer.
What's the obvious? 0?
What do you mean? Never mind. All right, let's do this.
Does everybody have them? All right, go ahead and read them.
I said one time.
I said four.
I said one as well.
All right. Nobody got that one correct. The correct answer is two times. Labs have a double coat consisting of an overcoat and an undercoat. Their overcoat is constantly growing and being replaced, so that's what they're shedding constantly. And then they have an undercoat, which they shed twice a year, once in the spring to get rid of their winter coat, and once in the fall to get rid of their summer coat. The process of shedding their undercoat is usually referred to as blowing a coat.
Mm.
They shed all the time.
Right. I think 365 was right.
If you put that, I might have gave it to you.
It's an undercoat. It's under my table, under my couch, under my refrigerator. Yeah.
All right. Question number six. What is the name of the only known duck species that has gone extinct in North America? I'll give you a hint. It shares a name with a common breed of dog.
The common breed of dog.
See, I know this one too.
Like you know it, or it's like subconscious?
Dude, no, I actually...
No, I mean, I think I know it. But I know like... Yeah, I can't say too much.
The thing that throws me for a loop is shares a name with a common species of dogs.
Is it common? Is it common, or was that a misrepresentation?
Yeah. Like, how common are we talking? Like, am I going to know someone with one of these dogs?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty confident.
You said we will know somebody. Guaranteed we'll know somebody with one of these breeds of dogs.
I am 90% sure that you guys will know somebody with this breed of dog.
Okay.
Huh. See, like, honestly, that tip
ruins what my guess was.
Right, yeah. Right. I was at the thing.
That's a brutal one.
It is the name of the only known duck species that has gone extinct in North America.
I mean, I was going to put Pintail, but I just don't know any of Pintail retrievers.
The Mallard.
Nate was thinking Mallard here.
That summer gun is definitely extinct in Louisiana, I can tell you that. How long ago did it go extinct? Can we get that? What year did it go extinct?
1908.
It's in my little text here, but I'll give it to you. 1878.
Oh, that's way
back. Oh, that wasn't our fault.
I don't know. I don't know a dog species name this, but this is my guess, so we're just going with it.
All right. Does everybody have an answer?
I do. I got the Labrador duck.
I went with like the North American Emperor duck.
See, I thought it was something like Newfoundland. I knew it was like somewhere in like the northeast. But like nobody had like I don't need dogs that are named
someone with a Newfoundland.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that was what I was gonna put until his hint, and I'm like, okay, is it Labrador or is it Newfoundland? Your hint sucks if I miss it because of that.
Right, no one's got a Newfoundland. I didn't write anything. I wrote down poodle duck.
All right, what is it?
All right, there is a correct answer. The correct answer is the Labrador duck.
Yes. Great hint, Zach. The hints are awesome.
We're like, bullshit aside. You said, wait. You said 90% sure you know somebody with this duck?
Everybody in.
Dog.
Everybody,
come on, man.
If I said 100%, then everybody got it.
He's got one. He looks
like everybody in the call's got one.
Look, if you just said 100%, I probably would have wrote Labrador duck.
The Dalmatian duck.
Man.
All right.
The golden duck.
But at the end of the day, I didn't know it, so I can't take credit anyway.
No.
Little is known about the Labrador duck since it went extinct before scientists ever had a chance to study it. What is known is that it was a sea duck that primarily lived in the Atlantic Flyway. Its reason for extinction is unknown. However, some speculate that it was due to overharvest of eggs or declining muscle populations, which the Labrador duck fed on. The last known sighting of a Labrador duck was in southern New York in 1878, when a hunter allegedly harvested the bird in flooded timber. Before researchers could get to the hunter, he had already plucked the bird. So all they had was the remains.
Oh, man.
Sounds like a similar story with the blue wings.
don't they have those ducks in the, what's the museum I'm thinking of? The one that has like all the artifacts.
Smithsonian?
Species. Yeah, the Smithsonian Museum. I think they have some of those ducks. And yeah, they should definitely do one of those like projects where they bring it back to life. I mean, what could go wrong?
There is a taxidermy of the Labrador duck. If you go on Google and look it up, look at images.
It's like white and black, right?
Yeah, it's almost like if an old squaw and a mallard bred.
Could you imagine?
It flew into timber. That'd be pretty cool.
Could you imagine being the guy to shoot the last one?
Okay, would you feel bad or would you feel accomplished?
Bad. I'd feel horrible that I was the last one to shoot it and that I plucked it and didn't get to save it. That's the part that would make it like just brutal.
Right.
See, I would almost feel accomplished.
That you eliminated a species? Wow. Well,
I mean, it was going to die anyway. You just got to be the last one to shoot one.
You don't know that. There could have been a female that didn't get shot.
Also, right, they could have bred, back.
And then from that, the whole species could have been rejuvenated, and they could have been as abundant as mallards, and changed duck landscape forever.
All I'm saying is it was shot in flooded timber, so it clearly had no idea what it was doing.
Are you saying all ducks that get shot in flooded timber have no idea what they're doing?
Well, that's like shooting an old squaw in flooded timber, or shooting a scoter in flooded timber, like.
Was it a puddle or was
no,
it?
No, it's a sea duck.
Huh, okay.
Yeah. So, all right. The current scores. Jordan has 2. Hunter has 3. And Nate has 1. It is still anybody's game. We're going on to question 7 right now. It's getting intense. All right. Question 7. This duck call company, which was founded in 1973... is credited with inventing the Drake Mallard whistle call. This duck call company, which was founded in 1973, is credited with inventing the Drake Mallard whistle call.
How old is Phil Robertson? He's probably one of those Poru guys too, isn't he?
No, he probably says P-Row.
Like, you gotta go to the bathroom.
He's from north of I-10, Yankee.
Okay. This is not multiple choice. We just got to come up with a duck call company.
Yeah, just out of thin air.
I mean,
you know, we're just going to go for it. I don't care.
I wasn't really hunting ducks in the 70s.
I was surprised it took to the 70s to make a whistle, to be honest.
Right. I mean, most people just made it with their mouth, right?
Right. That's pretty good.
No need.
I'm gonna start mouth calling too. I got a guess. Everybody else got a guess?
No, I don't have a guess. Let me pull in my brain.
Just come up with a random call maker that was around in the okay. You think came in the 70s.
DRC calls. Let's think.
I mean, there's not that many
old ones.
Call companies that are young.
That old?
What do you mean? I can name like 4 that are that old.
That's multiple choice. I guess that's
not multiple choice.
There's, if you said 4, that's what I would have gave you for multiple choice.
So you don't have 4 is what you're saying. Cabela's.
He's got it.
Let's go with
it's one that you should know.
I should know it.
Should know it.
Great. Now you gave it away.
Aha. I should know this question. Therefore, now I know it.
You just need to come up with an answer, man. You're slowing us all up.
Okay,
here.
I got one. I put Fred Zink. I don't know how old he is, but I know he's old.
I put Duck Commander.
Same, but duck commander.
That was my other guess, but it seemed too obvious.
All right. The correct answer is duck commander.
You even said it. I wasn't even going to put it down until you said it. And I was like, oh, that's definitely duck commander.
How about you, Nate? Were you going to say it until I said it?
No, I knew it. I knew the answer.
Oh, he knew it. Okay.
That's Louisiana, man. Come on.
Yeah. All right. Phil Robertson, the founder of Duck Commander, built the Drake Mallard whistle in 1972 because he was unhappy with the calls that were being made at the time. He received a patent for the call in 1973 and started Duck Commander shortly after. In his first year, he made $8,000, but his company is now valued at around $40
million. Was it in his new movie, The Blind?
I don't think those details were, but he did mention.
Just watch that.
He did mention there was like a pintail that was making some, you know, sounds in the distance, and he said, you know, no call sounded like that, you know. So he wanted to make one that sounded like that, supposedly. So that was just movie stuff.
Good movie.
Great movie.
It was a good movie. I'd recommend it.
I have no idea what you guys talk about.
There's a movie. It's called The Blind about Phil Robertson's life.
Mm.
It was recently in theaters. It was a good movie.
It's only for hardcore puddler hunters.
I'm not one of those.
Come on.
You can tell.
All right. Question number 8. Name 3 species of scoter.
Three species. You're not allowed to look at your freaking thing on the wall either, Jordan.
Should I not move my head right behind you?
If I see your head turn around, we're ending the stream.
Have any of you guys ever harvested a scoter? Nate, you have?
What kind?
Can't tell you, bro.
All right, I know 2. The last one's just going to have to be a guess, I think.
I got this one.
Dang. Nate's kind of come back with a comeback.
Yeah, dude. That's what I did on the last one. There's a comeback. He's coming back here.
Oh.
Nate, did you kill it in Louisiana?
Yes.
Did you travel? Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of them?
We get a few. Yeah, we do get a few down there on the coast. It's not a lot, but...
Do the old squaw ever make it down that far for you guys to get any?
Occasionally. Typically, you'll see some guys, you know, post on Louisiana duck hunting pages that they shot one. And usually it's a hen or it's like an adolescent drake or something. But, you know, we live on the coast. So, I mean, sometimes you do get some sea ducks that move in.
My dad got a crack at. We had a 3-pack come in. We were diver hunting on Saginaw Bay, and unfortunately, he whiffed.
What kind were those?
Can't tell you. I don't want to give it away. Have you write down one more answer?
All right, I'm ready.
I'm ready too.
All right,
I'll go first. I'll go for the embarrassment. I got the scooters, right?
No, scooters.
Okay.
Sea scoter, surf scoter, and black scoter.
I went with the surf scoter, white wing scoter, and the black wing scoter.
Yeah, I got the same answer as you.
All right, the correct answer is black, common, surf, white wing, and velvet.
I did not know there was a common scoter. Or a velvet. I've never even heard of a velvet.
So the velvet is actually pretty rare.
Yeah, I've never heard of that one.
It seems like they're more common up in kind of like Greenland, Iceland, way up north. But scoters are a unique type of sea duck that are stocky and have swollen bills. The drakes are mostly black and the hens are mostly brown. They breed and nest in northern Asia, North America, and Europe, and build nests on the edge of seas, large lakes, or in woodlands of the tundra. They primarily feed on mollusks, I can't say that, year-round. The common species that can be harvested in North America include the black, common, surf, and white wing. So
nobody got it, huh?
No, I got it.
Hunter and Nate got it.
What'd you say? Oh, black and white wing, not just black.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right, right, yeah.
So to answer your question, I shot a hen surf scoter.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah.
Wait, so what are the 7? Say the 7 again.
Okay, four. There's a common, a, a surf, a velvet, a black, and a white wing scoter.
Just five.
A black and a white winged. So it's a black winged and a white winged.
No, there's a
black scoter. The way he was reading was confusing.
There's a black scoter and there's a white wing scoter.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And you guys both said black and white winged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Because I heard Hunter say black winged. Right? Right, Hunter?
I mean, I wrote down surf, white, and black. So I know the white wing. I didn't know about the black. If it was black wing or black scoter.
But you said black wing.
Oh, sure.
I think you said black.
Hey, I'm just that's why I'm confused. I'm just asking.
I don't know, honestly. You need an instant replay button.
All right. I'll give it to you. I don't know what you said, but
I think you just said
black. Come on, man. No, don't give it to him. What is this? Anarchy. Riot. We want a tiebreaker. I don't know how we have a chance for Nate to come in and tie it up here.
I don't think so.
There's a chance. You're still in it.
How many do you have?
So I'll go through the scores. Jordan has 2. Hunter has 5 if I gave him the last one. And Nate, you have 3. Mm-hmm. And there's 2 questions left.
Hey, I know he said black wing.
Yeah, just
I will say
it. Just don't give it to me if I said black.
All right.
I thought you said black. I thought he said black.
Nah.
But maybe he did say black wing.
Listen, don't give it to me and we'll call it half of it because the first one, when it was American Widgeon, I first guessed Goldeneye, cross it out. Then I guess Ringneck, cross it out. And then I put Widgeon. So we'll just save the embarrassment and just call both those not a good not a thing. All right.
At least you didn't say poodle duck.
It'd be a cool looking duck.
All right. Question number 9.
You look like a wood duck with a perm, probably.
A Jerry curl.
Question number 9. Rank these Mississippi flyway states based on the total number of ducks harvested during the 2022 waterfowl season. Indiana, Iowa, and Kentucky.
Oh, that's a... Total number, like not just mallards, we're talking total number.
Total number of ducks harvested in one season out of Indiana, Iowa, and Kentucky.
Meatball. I'm just kidding. I say that every time and I get it wrong. So,
all right, I got my official guess here.
All right, go ahead and read them.
All right,
Iowa, Kentucky, then Indiana.
I went Kentucky, Iowa, then Indiana.
I went Iowa, Indiana, and Kentucky.
Wow, we all went different.
All right, the correct answer is Iowa, Kentucky, in Indiana.
Dang, man.
Yes.
Coming not from right. The back.
I knew it.
Iowa harvested a total of 92,500 ducks. Kentucky harvested 71,500. And Indiana harvested 68,800.
That's closer than I thought it would be.
It's very close.
Well, I mean, between last place. I mean, yeah. But.
If I moved out of the state, it'd go up a little. I mean, go down a little.
Total ducks harvested in the Mississippi Flyway during the 2022 season was just over 3.4 million. And you guys should be able to get this. What state shot the most?
Oh, obviously Arkansas.
Arkansas. Yeah.
They shot 700.
Louisiana, I mean, sorry. 000. Louisiana.
121,000?
721,000.
Oh, I was like, wait, 121,000?
Holy
I was like,
cow. Wait. Read that segment again. Let's hear this again because this is crazy.
Yeah. All right. So it's which state in the Mississippi shot the most birds? It's Arkansas. They shot a staggering 721,000.
And that is sad. Iowa shot how many?
92.
91.
So they shot 7.5 times more birds than Iowa.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, almost 8 times.
That's
in no scenario should Arkansas beat Louisiana. I'm sorry.
How many birds does Louisiana shoot? Do you have that, Zach?
Not that much.
Not that
much. Hey, but Louisiana. Didn't Louisiana shoot more ducks than all of Canada?
Yeah, I think so.
So.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like it's a small number. You guys shoot quite a few.
Yeah, Louisiana. We shoot a lot of ducks, but I mean, we should lead the nation.
Maybe not last year.
We should not. We're losing a lot of habitat. Well, we should definitely, just based on, you know, geographical location and Mississippi River, you know.
Right. You got the Delta.
We should hold the birds. We just don't anymore. Things have changed, you know, a lot has changed. Right. So.
All right. The current scores, Jordan has 3. Hunter has 4. Nate has 4. So it is
4.
Wait.
When did I get 4? I thought I had 3.
You should have 3.
No, oh, 3. Yeah. No, I
He's good at questions, bad at like
keeping score. Yeah. The important part.
I crossed something out and it looked
like it's not an episode without Zach messing up the score once.
All right. It's anybody's game. Hunter's in the lead, but
we got the intense music rolling now.
All right, last question, right?
Yeah, this is question 10. Unfortunately, it kind of panders to Hunter, so. Oh,
if it's a dog question, I quit.
Question 10. What is the bore diameter of a 20 gauge? And I have options. So is it 0.545 inches, 0.615 inches, 0.675 inches, or 0.73?
All right, so say them all again. That's too quick.
0.545, 0.615, 0.675, 0.73.
Is that 0.73 rounded, or is that down to the tenth of a thousand?
It's down to the tenth.
Hmm.
What is the bore diameter of a 20 gauge?
Hmm.
Hunter, I
see. No, see, you don't understand how stupid this question is. I'm going to be honest with you.
Why is it stupid?
Because most shotgun barrels are what's known as backboard today, and so they don't have a true bore diameter anymore. There hasn't been a true bore like shotgun made in a long time, because the backboring helps with like chokes and stuff, like, or it helps with your pattern. And essentially what it is the bore gets bigger than it should be. And so actually bores are almost all oversized today if you actually measure a bore. Now, if you measure a shell like the chamber, which I'm assuming this is probably relating to that part of things, that it'd be different. But yeah, it's
definitely a boring question.
it's more complicated than like it used to be. This was the bore, and then you'd have this is the thousands of the constriction of the choke, and that would give you what choke you have. And that's not true anymore.
Interesting.
Mm.
I mean, you know how the bore gauges originally came up, don't you?
No idea.
Like why it's called a 12 gauge and a 20 gauge? It's because when they were true bores, they had round balls that were made of lead. And it depends on how many of those round balls of the same diameter as the bore makes a pound. So out of a 20 gauge, it took 20 balls, the diameter of the bore, to make a pound.
What a dumb way to measure things.
Dude, it's ridiculous, right? Like, let's convert a thing to another thing to another thing. It's
right.
So dumb. But anyways, I have my guess.
All right.
I do too.
Go ahead and read them.
Jordan?
I'll go first. Oh. So I can change mine after you say.
I guessed, honestly, and put 0.615.
I put 0.675. Because it seemed like an actual number, like the other ones are just as made up, which now you say that it doesn't have to be a real number because it's you say it was number of balls in a pound of that size. Right. So,
I put 615 and scratched it out, put 675. So 675 final answer.
All right. The correct answer is 0.615.
God, dang it.
410 bore diameter is, you guessed it, 0.410. 28 gauge is 0.545. 20 gauge is 0.615. And a 12 gauge is 0.73.
I knew 12 for sure was 0.73 because I remember the actual diameters for the constrictions for choke tubes. So I remember 12 gauge pretty easily, but I didn't remember 20.
12 is the only one that I know. All the rest I had to look up, but
I didn't know any of them because that's useless information.
Right. Right. I think next week or next time, Zach, you should try to have questions that are all useful.
Okay. Okay. Well, congratulations, Hunter. You won it actually back to back. This is the second time. So you have a streak of two wins under your belt. So what conservation organization would you like the donation to go to?
Last time we went to Delta, so this time we're going to go to DU.
All right. Very nice.
Is this the part where I close out and pretend like I'm not salty for losing again? All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Wood Duck Wisdom. Despite losing, still fun. I'm going to win one of these times, I think. We appreciate Nate for coming on the podcast. And if you want to find Nate, you can jump over to his YouTube channel, Falling Tide TV. He's also over there on Instagram, Falling Tide TV as well. Anywhere else that you'd have people look for you, Nate?
I occasionally do a podcast. So if you go to, Apple Podcast, you could find Falling Tide Podcast on there. But other than that, I mean, I have a Facebook page. You can go to Facebook, Falling Tide TV on Facebook. So
awesome. And he's a Louisiana native, like we said. Awesome, awesome content over there on the YouTube channel. You put out some great hunts throughout the year. So definitely, definitely get over there and check him out. You won't regret it. And I think that's where we'll wrap it up. Oh, I will mention we are having him on in a month or so for a full podcast, talking more about all your duck hunting adventures. So stay tuned for that, everybody. But this is a great place to wrap it up. Thanks again, Zach, for jumping on, being the MC, and Hunter, the King of the Cans. But I'm Jordan from Duck Gun Chronicles, Nate from Falling Tide TV, and we'll see you guys on the next one.